This season of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is proudly supported by My Music Staff.
I think my inspiration for it originally when I was growing up was in church. It's probably a similar story to a lot of people. And you see the sort of the church band and like the pianist would be playing these amazing piano arrangements to accompany the congregation, but with just a lead sheet, you know. Mm. And once I saw that, you know, just written letters on a page, and I was like, what is this magic that they're doing, you know? And
what is this, you know, sorcery?
Where is like the magic ink on the paper or something, you know?
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
Well, hello, teachers around the world. It's Tim Topham here, and welcome back to season 4 of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast for 2018. It's our last season of the year, and you're listening to episode number 141. And a special welcome, of course, to my Inner Circle Piano Teaching community members. The Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is your home for inspiration, ideas, business, and teaching strategies to help support your teaching and grow your studio. And remember, of course, that the simplest way to listen to these podcasts, if you haven't already downloaded it, is to grab my free piano teaching app from any of your app stores. Just search for Tim Topham Piano and you should be able to find it. And it's a really easy way to catch up on all my latest blog articles, podcasts, videos, social media posts, all that kind of stuff. I can't wait to share with you all the great shows we've got planned in this 10-episode series to finish off the year. We'll be covering things including dealing with loss in the studio setting, being an effective worship pianist and helping students be prepared for playing in bands and those kinds of situations. We're going to have some case studies as well. I love doing case studies with teachers, including experience using the no-book approach for beginner teachers and the impact of including pop music teaching in the studio. And we've also got a case study of teaching a blind student for the first time and how someone went about doing that. And we're also going to go behind the studio with one of my Inner Circle members. It's an action-packed season and I can't wait to dig in. So to kick off, we're actually talking about all things playing by ear. So that's today's episode. If you've wondered how to make this a regular part of your lessons and want a few tips and ideas about activities you can use or why you should even consider it in the first place, I think you're going to enjoy today's guest. Today's show notes and full transcript are now available at timtopham.com/episode141. My guest today is a dynamic piano tutor and founder of pianopicnic.com, a piano learning hub featuring short burst lessons inspired by the concept of micro training. Now based in New Zealand, my guest has developed music education resources for the past 11 years and has worked with clients such as Rheingold Education, Rock School UK, Novello & Co, Music Room, Rockstar Recipes, and the Royal Academy of Dance. Her signature piano course, Songs by Ear, teaches the fundamentals of playing by ear directly to the student in a way that is quick, easy, fun, and all from your e-device or tablet. Welcome to the show, Ruth.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tim. So exciting.
It's really nice to be interviewing. I think you might be my first, I'm going to upset someone by saying this, but I think you might be my first guest from New Zealand. I'm trying to think back. So people listening, if you haven't come across the New Zealand, the Kiwi accent, you're in for a real treat today.
By way of a little bit of a UK, so maybe not as twangy as normally, but yeah.
it's not quite as twangy as a New Zealand accent could be. Anyway, yeah. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the resources that you've been creating for students predominantly, but with very much an interest for teachers as well. And, it seems like your blogging has kind of just exploded onto the scene recently, but you've actually been working on things for quite some time now. It's a little bit how it always works. Yeah. So tell us, how did the blog you've got, Piano Picnic, and your resources come about?
Okay, so I've been doing, been in publishing, music publishing for just over a decade. And mostly though, as an editor, you're pretty much putting together stuff that was like written by someone else. So I was putting together all the resources to go with you know, a piano course that was authored by someone else, or putting together repertoire that was arranged by someone else, but, you know, I put it all together and do all the different assets for it. So I kind of, I did all that. And then when I moved back to New Zealand about 18 months ago, I decided that I'd do my own thing, which kind of was my passion, which was learning by ear, and really just trying to make piano like as sort of accessible as possible for people. I found that in my piano journey, and also from working in publishing, it can get really serious. And I just wanted to sort of make it as sort of easy, fun, and not too much of a massive commitment for people that are just looking to play songs, basically.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of those people out there, as we know from all the YouTube tutorials that our kids come to lessons with. So you were working in music publishing in the UK, I believe. So which publisher were you with, and what were you doing?
I was working with Music Sales Group, who I think are, well, one of the largest publishers, sheet music publishers in Europe, I think. And I was doing sort of the educational methods for mostly piano, but also sometimes random instruments as well.
Right.
Like I did one for harmonica at one point, and I don't know how to play. That's the beauty of being an editor. But very much mostly piano and vocals as well, and a lot of choral stuff. So editing the repertoire and syllabuses and all that sort of thing, and doing the extra sort of digital stuff that comes with that, like videos and backing tracks and all that sort of thing.
Wow. And so that was a good 10 years or so. You grew up in New Zealand and you went to London for this job, I assume.
Yeah.
And you've gone all the way back. I mean, this is about as far across the globe as you could possibly get. So when you came back, I mean, it must have been a real bit of a shock to the system. Did you pick up where you left off with your teaching, or did you go straight into creating some of these new resources?
I kind of used the opportunity to, before I sort of tried to, I think I spent about a few weeks trying to find a music editing job in New Zealand, which is really,
really tough.
Really tough. And then I just decided, you know, like, this is the best chance for me to kind of start something myself. And then I got thinking about it and did some research about it, and just got more and more excited about the idea of creating something that was really just sort of easy and short as well, just little short lessons. And that's when I got into the idea of sort of micro training and that idea of really, really small lessons, which is just right. Really.
Yeah, in reading your promotional material about some of the videos and things you have, I notice you always say they're really short, they're no fluff, I think phrase. So did you find that a lot of the courses out there for piano students and music students tend to be quite fluffy and just take forever to get to the point?
Yeah, particularly. And even with things like you were mentioning before, like YouTube tutorials, like if you, you know, just to learn one song, sometimes you can be sitting there for half an hour and just to learn one song, and it's not even skills that are ongoing, you know. Mm. And I, in fact, when I my first sort of job out of uni was for doing that rocket piano course, and part of that was we did this website called Song Pond, and it was one of the first sort of video tutorial for learning songs sort of websites about 11, 12 years ago. And to teach one song, I'd be sitting there, the video would be half an hour to 40 minutes for, you know, just to teach one song. So, yeah, it's... not great.
Right. And so you found some ways to shortcut that and just help people get bang straight to what they want to learn, which I think is great. And we'll find out a bit more about how you do that later on. What was I was reading about the Rocket Piano course, and I went to rocketpiano.com and it was a guy there. It wasn't you. What was that? I didn't understand.
Oh, so I was brought on. That was the case where someone else had written books. And I came in and turned it into video lessons and with audio and actually learned sort of, that was where I cut my teeth on like all these sort of different aspects of creating different medias. And so I would like script it and film it and edit the video and then send out the emails. And so it was really everything. And that was my first taste of being in front of the camera and also being a brand. So my face was on the piano course as well. And and so they, when I left, obviously they had to sort of phase me out as the course. Yeah.
But that gave you the skill to then say to music sales in the UK, hey, I know what I'm doing. I've got this experience.
Yeah. And I think that was the what got me into that whole industry was that I could kind of do a bit of everything pretty much.
Right. So your website's called Piano Picnic. Why picnic?
Because I just like food. No. I think, yeah, I'm when researching the course, I kind of doing the piano course initially, there was all these sort of words coming up like easily digestible, snackable content. And, you know, when you talk about breaking down a song, you talk about chunking it into bits. And so it kind of just seemed to be this theme kept coming up of sort of small bits of food.
Snack bite bits of food, yeah.
Yeah. And I love a good pun. So I've kind of just tried, I always try to think of new things. Like on my YouTube channel, I've got sort of some video exercises for like hands and fingers, and I call it finger food. And
right, clever.
Yeah, super clever.
Yeah, I think picnic, I mean, the other reference to picnic over here, I don't know if you have the same saying, but if you, you know, if something's a picnic, it's dead easy to do. Is that a New Zealand ism as well?
Yeah, I wondered
whether that was part of it or it totally kind of works along. have you met Amy Chaplin before, who runs PianoPantry.com?
I came across her. She contributed to that blog that USC contributed the other day. And, I love that. I think we should do some sort of crossover, like food and piano sort
You'll
of thing.
Have to connect because she's, you know, she's right on that food and piano, food and music thing as well. Yeah. So how much teaching these days are you doing versus all the other online stuff?
Yeah, I pretty much just have a handful of students at the moment, and it's actually really good because it's kind of, otherwise I can get a bit of a disconnect, because when you're doing online courses, I don't always get to see people have that moment where they just suddenly get it, or, you know, or the excitement, you know, when they've figured out a piece. And so it's been cool to keep up having the students just kind of on the side, just so that I can, for one thing, kind of you know, experiment stuff with them that I want to put in the course.
Yeah.
But also to get that sort of boost of feeling good about teaching music. Mm.
No, yeah. I think, and it's important to keep teaching as I do with a small number of students. And as you say, they're great little guinea pigs for new ideas that you've got and things to try out.
Yeah.
So you've got a new course that you've just created recently called Songs by Ear, which I want to find out a little bit more about. Have you got other resources as well for music students?
I've got just two courses, and the Songs by Ear is sort of the main one, and then Super Basics is what I call my sort of pre-beginner sort of mini course, basically, and that's like right from this is what this note is, you know.
Yep.
and it's just a mini course, but it sort of basically gets people from absolutely no previous piano training to be able to do the Songs by Ear course is kind of idea behind that. Yeah.
Right. And so Songs by Ear is the next evolution. And what made you decide to create a course on this topic? It's very specialized. I mean, you mentioned before the bite-sized thing, but there must be more to it than that, I'd guess.
Yeah. I've always been so interested. Well, I've always done it. And I think my inspiration for it originally when I was growing up was in church. It's probably a similar story to a lot of people. And you see the sort of the church band, and like the pianist would be playing these amazing piano arrangements to accompany the congregation, but with just a lead sheet, you know. Mm. And once I saw that, you know, just written letters on a page, and I was like, what is this magic that they're doing, you know? And
what is this sorcery?
Where is like the magic ink on the paper or something, you know? So yeah, I mean, that's more to do with comping a reading from a lead sheet, but it's, for me, it's all transferable, because you bring in the melody that you know is in the song, and that's your ear skills, and so it's all kind of part of that. And I was always interested in it, but I kind of went on this, did all my sort of piano grades and did I really feel like it wasn't until I did studied harmony for, you know, music degree that I really sort of understood how songs work. And that was something that I feel like was actually really simple in some ways. And so I kind of think that I'm just trying to give people the best of the things that I've learned without having to go through the whole 12-year journey.
Right. Got it.
Yeah.
What grade system do you guys use in New Zealand?
We do I was a combination of Trinity and Royal Schools.
Right. That's ABRSM and Trinity.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, because we share an exam board, the ANSCA, ANZ, Australia, New Zealand Cultural Arts or something.
So
I was just interested if you used one of the big European bodies, which was probably quite helpful for you when you went to live and work in London, I'd guess, because you knew the system.
Yes, it is helpful. And I actually, because now here we also have Rock School also have their own sort of curriculum here as well. It's not so formal, but and I actually got to work with them for a little bit in the UK, which is really cool.
Oh, great. That's through Trinity, isn't it? Trinity Rock School, is that they're associated?
Rock School, they're their own company, I think. They might have affiliated recently, but yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Down in Bryson, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. So the songs by ear, you mentioned before playing in church and worship music. It comes up a lot. And in fact, I'm going to do a podcast with someone else about this because I get a lot of questions. It seems like a lot of teachers, and you can put your hand up if you're listening and you're a teacher who plays in worship scenarios of some sort. But I get questions from a lot of them. Two questions. One is, I've been asked to play in my church and I'm not really sure how to do the lead sheet thing because that's how they run. Or second, I can kind of do it because I've always done it, but I don't know how to teach it.
Right.
And so you get these two kind of aspects of really the same thing, which is teaching music via chords and lead sheets and ear. And trying to work out how to structure it. So in your course, and now I know your course is designed for students in particular, but I have a feeling there'll be quite a few teachers listening who aren't confident with their being able to play by ear, you know, like hear things and play and do that kind of stuff. So are your resources useful for teachers as well as students?
Yeah, I've just had a teacher enroll because I've been emailing back and forth with this teacher because he was like, I don't know if it's going to be right for me to bring my students through. And I was just saying to him, you know, it's really if you're the type of teacher that maybe doesn't feel comfortable with getting your students started in learning songs by ear, or if the student is sort of waning in enthusiasm, perhaps this is sort of the perfect thing to give them because it just gets them playing an easy song quickly, and that's it in a nutshell. And it just kind of gets the excitement levels, get the pride levels up, and that's pretty much what it is. And I think in terms of teaching, you're basically just teaching the smallest amount of knowledge possible to get them to play the simplest song, you know? So building major and minor chords and then going into a three-chord song, and even just teaching the chords and allowing them to go home and figure out the melody for themselves, and they'll just kind of drive it if they're excited about learning the song. Yeah.
Do you find, or do you like encouraging your students to sing, to accompany themselves with chord progressions and sing the song?
I try to encourage them to do that, but it doesn't always work. It's quite difficult. I've got a lot of boys, and it's just really difficult to get them to sing.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor, My Music Staff. Most of you have already heard about My Music Staff and how their software helps thousands of music teachers manage their businesses more efficiently. They handle all of your student management issues, scheduling, billing, and so much more. It's what I personally use in my own studio, and it's no surprise why it's the leading studio management software. What I think really makes My Music Staff stand out is its community-driven development and personal approach to customer support. It was such a pleasant surprise jumping into My Music Staff for the first time and realizing how in tune it was with my business and the ins and outs of a music studio. Since they partner with the music community to develop their software, they've been able to anticipate what teachers need and are constantly improving their software to exceed expectations. My music staff is super easy to get up and running. The transition away from paper and spreadsheets is painless. If you do need help, the quality of support is second to none, and you'll always get a fully personalized response. I have yet to see the level of attention and care I receive from my music staff provided by any other software platforms I use, and I use a lot of software in my business. So what have you got to lose? Just go to mymusicstaff.com and sign up for their free 30-day trial today. I have to say, keep up trying because I used to be really reticent about asking my boys to sing, particularly as their voices start changing in the teenage years too. But they have really surprised me. So many of them, if you push it and sing with them and encourage them, a number of them have magically got these amazing voices, which I would have never known otherwise.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so keep up. Everyone listening, don't be afraid of getting your boys to sing because you never know what you'll find. And singing for every student is just so important.
And it sort of frees you up to do more with your, you know, your arrangement or how you would play the song. If you're not having to play the melody, there's a lot more that you can do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so much easier. I always say when I present about pop music, I mean, pop music was never designed to play on a piano. The melody was never designed to be played.
Yeah.
So and that's why it's so difficult. And teachers tear their hair out trying to follow every single rhythm pattern in a notated sheet. It's so difficult. And I love your opinion on this too, but I'd just say forget it. Don't try and read the printed melody, either sing it, or if they do want to play it, then let them just play it as they kind of know how it goes. Yeah. What's your thinking on that?
I kind of like to, I think playing the melody is important, playing it or singing it just to know where it is. But I think just bringing it in where it feels comfortable to do that. You know, if you're playing chords and if the melody kind of sits at the top of the chords, then it's a bit easier to kind of twinkle it out on your you know, little finger and ring finger or whatever. Mm. But if it's kind of all over the place, then it becomes harder. And I'd rather just be jamming some chords, you know, with the rhythm guitar sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So give us an overview of your approach to teaching. You've called it songs by ear, but it almost sounds like music by bite-sized chunks. I think I'm right in saying you're not actually teaching people to hear something and play it, or maybe that's an aspect of it. It's more about just playing quickly. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I call it songs by ear rather than playing by ear because, you know, playing by ear is such a lifetime sort of pursuit, and you know, there's all the ear training that's involved, and being able to, I mean, at the upper sort of range of that ability is being able to hear a song a couple of times and then be able to like play it. That's like, people are amazing and it can do that. Mm. And I'm not teaching that. I'm just teaching sort of basically how to find the harmony of a song, so your chord progressions and your patterns, and be able to jam along and bring out bits of the, if there's a piano riff, bring out bits of that. If there's not, bring out bits of the melody, and sort of just be able to play a version of the song that's recognizable as that song.
Right.
Yeah.
Without following the music dot by dot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So take us through what would be your approach for a teacher listening who's kind of reasonably confident, keen to try something out. Maybe they've got a teenage student who's got some extra time or longer lessons. What's your approach to starting to teach in this way? What would you do first?
So I think the first, and this is funny, that what I think is the first thing is something I didn't actually think about until after I'd completed doing the Songs by Ear course. And so now I do it as a sort of, I do it what I call an ear boot camp before I open up the course enrollment. And I just did it a couple of weeks ago. And that's about just getting your ears going and so actively listening. And I think that's actually where it starts with students is getting them to listen to the world around them and what sounds are happening. You know, I ask them, you know, sort of when they come to the lesson at the start, I say, you know, what have you heard any notes this week? And so they're thinking about when they're out in the world, if they hear a bird call or a siren or a squeaky gate, like, you know.
So what notes that aren't music.
Notes that aren't music, and identifying them as pitches, and then going to the piano and trying to find that on the piano and kind of making that connection. I think that's sort of one of the first steps.
Yeah. Well, all our students, adults and children, are all great. They all listen to music, but they're not necessarily great listeners, and they're definitely not active listeners. So I really like that approach of trying to get students to actively listen to music and think about it musically. And I actually think Trinity and ABRSM do this quite well in their oral tests, where they'll actually, you know, you've got to listen and hear where something modulates or what instrumentation is used here or what happens to the rhythm and things like that, because our kids are permanently plugged into headphones.
Yeah.
But whether they're actually conscious of what's going on is another matter altogether. Do you find that students can have success with that ear boot camp idea even if they've never learnt music before, if they're complete beginners?
I think they can get something out of it. Like it kind of starts with the ear boot camp. It starts with just hearing and they choose their own song and they just start with identifying instruments. What instruments are in the song, and so it kind of goes up a level each day, and then at the end you're kind of just thinking about the sort of up, down, or staying the same sort of idea of chords or and of the harmony, and also just listening to the rhythm. And it's not putting lingo on it or you know, sort of technical terms on it or anything. It's just, is it fast or slow, or, you know, just really, really basic stuff. Yeah,
but it needs to be, doesn't it? I'm always amazed by how our ears can decipher so many different instruments playing at the same time. It's just, even in an orchestra, you can still hear horns versus bassoon versus viola. I think it's incredible.
even if you don't know the names of the instruments, hey, you can still hear the difference.
It's pretty incredible. But again, just getting students to actually recognize that they can do that's important. All right, so you've got them listening, they're attuned literally to the sounds that they're hearing. What's kind of the first practical approach that you take to a song, to your, you know, your song by ear approach?
I think it starts with, building chords, building a major and minor chords, and then being able to do that anywhere on the keyboard. And then from there, it's kind of going into the song that I can find that has the least amount of chords in it so that they can get playing it as soon as possible.
And what are some of those examples? Can you think any off the top of your head?
There's the Havana by Camila Cabello is a three-chord song.
That's that Latin American-y one, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's groovy. That's one that some of my girls wanted to learn, and I was like, that's fantastic. So he got three chords in it. And so that is, you know, they can just play the chords and it's recognizable. And then if they get excited about it, they can try and teach themselves the rhythm as well that the chords are played in. So that's kind of where I would start, and that just gets them excited about it, and then you go from there.
Do you like giving students the opportunity to choose a song that they'd like to learn and then help them with that, rather than say, here's a good four-chord song?
Yeah, I do. I've done that a few times where it's kind of ended up not that great, like, because they choose a song that maybe had like a cool riff that they could learn in it, and then we kind of try to learn the rest of the song and it would just be too difficult or just too much, you know, EDM sort of
dance music, not dance stuff music.
But it's good just for a little bit, I think,
and then that's still okay.
Decide whether we continue or now do something easier.
I love giving my students, if they just want to learn a chorus or a trumpet part, or like Avicii, who made lots of like the catchiest little trumpety kind of riffs on his songs. Yeah. They're all pentatonic generally, and just a student to be able to play that. I think when they can show off and play that to their friends, they get that feedback. that peer support. Yeah. Oh, you know, Tim's a good pianist. That's pretty cool. Show us the next one and you can go to your teacher and find out the next one, that kind of thing. And that really builds motivation.
Yeah, and I think it can kind of give them the fuel to go through the journey of everything else that they need to learn, you know, all the sort of harder stuff that they need to work on. If they've got that sort of initial win to kind of get them through,
then it's
all good.
Yeah, it's okay to use this as a hook. And by that, I mean, you know, bring them in or bring them back from possibly quitting and get them remotivated. But the thing I'm sure you'll agree with is that students can actually learn a heap by pulling songs apart and taking them back to their harmony. You mentioned harmony and how important that was for you early on. Do you find that bringing students to music through chords and progressions actually deepens their understanding?
Oh, for sure. And that's just my major passion, I think, ever since I learned about it, was just, oh my gosh, chords are so cool. And they, you know, I mean, I'm a geek, but, you know, and how they, different kinds will push towards other different kinds, and, you know, we're all finding all about that. And and sort of the manipulation through using certain chords, and yeah, it's really cool. And I think I try to get my students as excited about that as possible.
That's right. Yeah. And everything can be broken down to it. You know, the simplest Bach minuets and any Baroque, classical, romantic work. I mean, it all comes down to a chord progression when you get to the basics. So to help students understand that, and then they can read a bit better because they can predict what's coming up. So, you know, I certainly love this approach. So we've kind of gone through the basics of what you do and what your approach is in that course for students. What's kind of the end game or the highlight? Do they finish with a big, wow, you can play this particular song, or what's the kind of end goal?
So throughout the course, whenever there's a different sort of chapter on a different concept, it has a what I call a have a go, which is like an exercise for doing that sort of thing, and then a song snack, which is like a going back to the picnic thing, which is just like a small, you know, maybe four bars or four bass notes or whatever it is that is applicable to that concept. And so they're just throughout the whole course just doing tiny, 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 tiny bits. And then at the end, we kind of go through, hey, you know what, let's put all of these things that you've done in tiny bits together in this way. And what do you know? It's a whole song.
Brilliant. That's clever.
So they kind of, by sort of surprise or mistake, kind of end up learning the whole first song by ear. So the whole course is really to just one song. But for this time around, because I first released at end of last year, and then I've just done my second launch, and I've added a few extra songs as well. So with it, you know, broken down into those easy chunks to be able to do. Yeah.
Brilliant. And they'll be songs that students will recognize?
No, they're original compositions done in a sort of pop music sort of style. Yeah.
Right. Having gone through royalties and copyright things with publishers, I know exactly why you've decided to do that.
That was a major eye-opener working in publishing, and knowing, actually, another reason why it's so good to learn by ear is the freedom of being able to learn any song, because working in a publisher's, you quickly realize that you can only do the songs that we own publishing rights for, or that we can swap publishing rights with another company, you know, so you do kind of swaps every now and then, but it's quite limiting. So the sheet music that comes out for you know, in piano arrangements is lots of red tape and like what songs they choose to do. So
No, that's good. That definitely is more flexible.
Yeah.
And do you tend to use backing tracks when you're working on chord based songs?
Yeah, I do. For the course, I have I end up putting out all these sort of different mixes. So I have like to help them sort of get used to, because you can't always hear the bass above everything else in a song when you're not used to doing that. So we'll have like a bass boosted mix, and then a piano only mix, and then a demo of the whole song, and then a backing track so that you can play along to it. And so there's all these different ways so you can get used to separating out the different elements.
Brilliant. Yeah, that boosting of the bass so that students can hear that. You know, as you probably know, I'm a big fan of getting students to try and hear bass lines and be able to work up from the bass rather than down from the melody. So that's a a great idea. And do we get to hear you sing on this song, or is it a instrumental?
No, it's an instrumental. I didn't want to sing. I felt too up in everyone's deal.
No worries. Well, look, you've done a really great job. Thank you very much for having a chat with me today about this. Where can people go to find out more about what you're up to?
So thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
People can go to pianopicnic.com. And that's my website. That's where everything is. And for specifically to learn about songs by ear, it's just pianopicnic.com/songs by ear.
Great. And you do have a fantastic blog. I've got to keep on my toes with all these new bloggers entering the system.
We're all inspired by you, to be honest.
Well, you put out great content. It looks fantastic, and I really like your graphics and things like that. So do check out Ruth's blog as well, which is at pianopicnic.com, and definitely pops up in my feed on social media. So you're doing the right things.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, congratulations with it all. And good luck with the launch of the course and how that all proceeds. Sounds really exciting.
Yeah, thank you so much. I've actually got closing enrollments today. So,
Wow, okay.
For the moment.
this will be won't be published until a little bit after our conversation today. So,
oh, yeah, of course.
But I'm sure you can work with people who come in later on.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Sure. Well, look, have a great day. Thanks again for joining us. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed today's interview with Ruth. She's such a superstar, and I had such fun talking with her. So definitely go and check out some of her resources, and I hope you can integrate some playing by ear into your own studios. This month at timtopham.com, we're focusing on Facebook advertising leading up to a webinar coming up towards the middle of October if you're listening to this live or at the time of publication. In some of these Facebook Lives that I'm doing and the webinar, we're going to be unpacking all the questions you might have around Facebook ads, why you might use them, how to avoid wasting a whole lot of money on them, and we're going to be giving away lots of resources to help you test this out in your studio as one of your marketing strategies. We're going to be wrapping things up, as I said, with another massive webinar in a few weeks. It's going to be on Saturday, the 20th of October. That's Melbourne time in the morning, which will be Friday night, the 19th in the United States and the UK. And for UK listeners, I know some of these recent webinars have been at midnight. So this one's at 10 p.m. I know it's late, but hopefully a little bit better than midnight for you. So stay tuned. I'll give you the sign-up details next week. And of course, if you are enjoying this podcast, I would be delighted if you could spend just a minute leaving an iTunes or a Facebook review. To leave a Facebook review, just head to my Facebook page. And for iTunes, if you'd like the instructions, just head to timtopham.com/iTunes and I step you step by step through the process. And I'm really proud to let you know too that this podcast is now available on Spotify. So if that's a place that you tend to listen to most of your music, then you can actually search for me there, search for Tim Topham Piano, and you'll be able to listen through your Spotify app if you'd like to. So next week on the podcast, we've got a return guest whose podcast episode last season, which was all about hiring her first teacher, was incredibly popular and I know has inspired quite a few teachers to take the leap into hiring their first teachers as well. Next week, she's going to be telling the story of how she took a student with severe vision impairment, having never done it before, how she supported herself and found resources to help, and how she helped him consider a university degree in music performance. It's an amazing story, and you'll be blown away with my guest's down-to-earth approach and her ability to adapt her teaching to just about any situation. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon PianoPodcast for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.